with ADHD, you know, we're, our brains are like floating around quite a bit, but we don't like put this concrete, like, all right, these are the benefits of taking this on. You know, we have to be bought in. We really have to understand the big picture. We have to see the whole field and be bought in on doing this.
Hi, ADHDer. Did you know that coaching worldwide is a $2.85 billion industry? Maybe you, like me, have also noticed that it's saturated with a lot of neurotypical and traditional ways of motivation and achievement. ADHD coaching is different. It's specialized for the ADHD brain. This means that coaches understand the intricacies of the ADHD brain in order to provide support that can lead us to real and achievable results. I'd love to show you how it works. Welcome to our ADHD podcast. Welcome to Coaching ADHD.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Camden Hainsworth, and on behalf of the ADHD Directory and Coaching Connection, I'm pleased to welcome you to today's Coaching ADHD presentation titled Building Structure to Move Us Forward. So a lot of people don't have clarity surrounding what are the most important things that they need to measure in order to reach their goals or to work on to get the results that they most want. So Andy is here today. I'll introduce him in just a sec. And he's created a system based on his business experience to help us support this clarity that we need to get in order to get those desired results. So I love Andy Gill. He is the most incredible person and human in general. But in addition to that, he is an amazing ADHD coach and emotional intelligence coach. I've also had the great pleasure of working with him in a coaching capacity. He's coached me a variety of times, and it's been an awesome opportunity to start to see where my strengths are with my emotional intelligence and kind of like where my out-of-box programming maybe I can be aware of that hinders me maybe from getting to where I want to be. Andy is supportive. He and his wife have two kids. He has a background in construction management and has a heart of gold. He is such a service-oriented leader. And if you ever get the chance to work with Andy, it is a gift and a pleasure. I'm so excited that he gets to be here. Before I hand the mic over to Andy and today's session, I have a few housekeeping items. If you are listening on replay or podcast mode, please follow the link in the show notes to become a member of the Coaching Connection and gain access to all the additional resources and the original video version of this call and all other ADHD calls. I'm so pleased to welcome Andy to be with us today. Andy, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Camden. I appreciate your kind words. Yeah.
Of course. Well, they come from the heart and they're real and you can't make them up.
No, certainly not. Yeah.
So tell us, go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor here to bring us into what we're just talking about. People kind of lacking clarity and needing help, specifically neurodivergent minds a lot of the time too. Add that on top of everything else. It gets very complicated. So bring us to where we're at so that this will be most helpful.
Well, first I'll address, thank you so much for the warm welcome. You can see I'm in my shop here and I hadn't really had a chance to talk to you about that, but you know, as ADHDers, we evolve and we learn more and more about ourselves. And so I rented an office about half an hour from here and I closed that a couple months ago because it just wasn't super aligned. And I came to my shop. So this is, this actually where we live here in Connecticut is, where my wife grew up and my father-in-law passed away about 6 years ago. And in the shop, he and I created a lot of things. We built our kitchen table. You know, actually I built a lot of stuff in here. And so in coming into the property, like in creating a workshop, it really is the environment that I want to coach in. So like, I love the imperfectness of it. You know, I'm a bit of a blue collar guy and, you know, from the East Coast and so I like it that it's imperfect. I like that it's dirty. I like that the tools are here that we assemble. So I really love doing these kind of things in this space. So welcome to my shop.
It's awesome. I'm so glad. It's very aligned. I mean, if there's a word that I could use, it's like, this is you. And yeah. For a shop, it is definitely looking pretty nicely organized. P.S. I know that you're not in the middle of stuff, but yeah. I've seen shops anyway. Yeah. Regardless, I love it. Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you. So But so what I wanted to talk about today was the, you know, creating structure around it is super important. So like, I just kind of addressed like moving back to, you know, to this place, like, so in creating the environments where things can happen, it requires a bit of like, of clarity. So I've developed this tool and we call it the scorecard, and it wasn't my idea. You know, it was a culmination of a lot of different pieces of my life in the different periods that came together. So as you know, I was working with people more and more with ADHD. I didn't start as an ADHD coach, you know, so I was working about half and half, and, you know, it took me with a little resistance. I jumped, you know, both feet in, and I realized there was a real like need for this kind of thing. So if you're familiar with golf, like there's a scorecard in golf, like hole one, hole two, and there's a par, you know, with each one. So if hole one is a par five or par three, like, all right, well, that's what the expectation is. So with a scorecard, you know, we want to have like, want to identify the very specific things that are going to make the most, the biggest impact. So like kind of low hanging fruit. And I was starting to tell, Camden a little story. Like I'm running the New York City Marathon in the first week of November. I don't exactly know when. I think it's in the beginning of November. I should probably check on that a little more. But like it is, and I tell this, you know, when I talk about these scorecard items with my clients, you know, we talk all about this stuff. So marathon's hard, requires a lot of training. It's more than the body has to give. You know, that's why I actually like it so much, because you have to kind of pace yourself a little bit, and you're going to go into depletion and give more than you have to offer, which is like so significant in so many different areas. But if I'm going to be successful in running the marathon, I need to drive to my friend Jocelyn's house. She's my BRF, my best run friend for the last, you know, 6-7 years. She lives in a couple towns over. So if I drive myself to her house on Sunday mornings, I know that she's going to make me run. I'm going to complain about it. Like, she'll hold me accountable. You know, I'll get out there and I'll do the thing. And so when I want to walk, she won't let me walk. And so all these different things, she's crazy. She runs about 100 miles a week.
Hey, just going to interrupt real quick here. If you are loving this call, then you've got to see the full video inside the Coaching Connection. Not only do we have this call, but we have over 50 other archived calls, a skill session, and incredible guest speakers. Head over to theadhdirectory.com to find out more information. Now back to our call.
But like, so she's totally nuts. You can follow her. She's actually got a huge following on TikTok. Yeah. The running Jocelyn. Yeah. So that's the thing. So that's the one thing. So if you're like, all right, well, how I have this goal to do this, run this marathon. Well, what's the one thing I need to focus on in order to make sure that happens? Like, so, and that for me is drive to Jocelyn's house on Sunday mornings. So, but, and then we'll talk about all these different things. So and we really want to put a lot of thought and effort into these things. So like, we don't want to just fill out your scorecard with like 4 to 6 items off the top of your head. You really want to have these deep conversations around like what your goals are in all these different areas of your life. So if there's something in work, if there's something at home, if there's something like for, you know, I use the marathon as a, like in fitness, which provides a lot of different things. Like another, like scorecard items are like, if I'm going to, I'm heavily involved in scouts. Mm-hmm. And so I drive to, today's actually Wednesday. So and I'm on the East Coast. So it's 4 or 5 o'clock, in about an hour and a half, I'm going to be getting in my car and driving to Rhode Island to go to scouts. This is one of my scorecard items, is to go to the scout meeting on Wednesday. So when I feel like I don't want to go, like it's, I hold myself accountable to this thing, because when I get in the car, like I'm going to, it creates this like environment for my son and I, cause I drive him and he's almost 17. So he doesn't want to go all the time. So I don't make him, but I maneuver this thing. Cause when we're driving together, like it provides this opportunity for us to be not facing each other. He's driving typically. And so we can have conversations around like what's going on in his life. Like, so if I listen to his music, his country music a little bit, and he tells me what the background story of these different things are, and then I can kind of, it gives me an opportunity to get into his world and kind of figure out like do a check-in.
Yeah.
Well, that provides like, that hits on all these different levels. So this is a scorecard kind of conversations that we have, is like, what are the things, what are the specific things that are going to make a difference? Like almost the question that we'd like to address is like, what would it take? Like, what's the, you know, if you're trying to do this thing, if you're trying to get promoted at work, well, what's the one thing that you could do? Like, that's going to like check off a lot of boxes in your life. Like, so for me, driving to scouts every Wednesday, well, I get to go and make an impact in a bunch of young people's lives. I get to have some fellowship with some of the other leaders. So, you know, create friendships that are not sitting around a bar stool, you know, like these are friends that are working towards progress and interested in growth, you know? And then I get to have this, like, most importantly, I get to have this time with my son. You know, we learn leadership skills. We talk about all these things, get down to basic, you know, and give back. So as we're identifying these scorecard items, so if it's like, if your goals are to, for fitness, if your goals are for nurturing relationships, or for, if it's developing leadership, if it's, you know, if it's emotional regulation, like whatever these things are, like we have conversations and write these things down. So I encourage you to actually, I'll say, if you want, I don't know if there's a way to, can I send you the scorecard? Can I,
yeah,
I can, and
yeah,
you can attach
course.
It as a thing.
Yeah, we can upload it as a PDF.
So I will, you know, I can share a screen right now. That's fine.
Yep.
Or I can do that thing.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you'd like. So what I'm hearing you say is interesting is that it could be a values-based goal, or it could be an actual like tangible goal, like a checkmark goal almost, but the scorecard is going to help us add clarity to that desired result, whether it is, like you were saying, relationships, which sometimes we think of it as like, you know, it's ongoing, it's value-based versus mm-hmm. the marathon that like, this is going to be like a check mark.
Yeah. Kind of external, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sharing the screen here and it says a weekly scorecard here. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but it's on top. It says goal. And then the second one says item. So like, we'll run through this a little bit. So if I want to be a better dad, or I want to be a better husband, you know, I can write that down. Like my goal is to, like, I'd probably craft that goal a little bit clearer, but I would write like, find opportunities to connect with my significant other, you know, throughout the week, or make sure, you know, I'd want to make sure that she feels heard, you know, when she speaks, like really, like, so I dial into the very specific things that will make a difference. And then I would write that down under the item section.
Okay.
But you know, for an external thing, we'll actually switch to a different goal, because that'll get kind of complicated. So for me, daily, I'd like to do my morning, like every morning I write down like the stuff that I have to do that day. Cause you know, as most ADHDers, like I have this mental agenda of 17 million things that I'm going to accomplish every single day. Right. It's bullshit though. Yeah. I'm not going to actually do, oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to swear. I write down all these things. I take a piece of paper. Actually, I'll jockey around like some different ways that with some different things. So sometimes I use this journal. Sometimes I just use a blank piece of paper. Okay. And at the beginning of the day, when I'm having my coffee, I write down like 3, 5, 10 different things, all the things that my brain thinks I should be doing that day.
Those things that just keep spiraling and swimming in your brain until they get somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. So like I might tell myself that I need to mow the lawn that day.
Yeah.
I might tell myself that I'm going to exercise and I call it karate, but it's a whole different, you know, I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But so I'll be like, I'm going to go to that thing. I'm going to coach all 6 people incredibly. Right. I'm going to do all this stuff. I'm going to cook dinner. I'm going to scouts. I'm going to clean out the back of my car. You know, I'm going to do all these different things. Like I'll write down all this list of stuff that I'm going to do. And then I just start crossing off like the things. So I start adding up the time that it actually takes for this thing. You know, I'm going to eat well, I'm going to track my macros, I'm going to drink a gallon of water, I'm going to do all this shit. Right? So, and then I start like looking at it and be like, well, that's really, you know, a month's worth of stuff. If you really think about it, like I'm going to demolish my whole kitchen. I'm going to do all these things. Right. So,
okay,
so then I just get down to like, I start crossing things off. Not that those things don't need to be done, but like, it gives me like a real picture. It ties the actual time with my time down when I start to do this thing down. So then I can let go of all those things that, you know.
Yeah, it's the now or not now type of thing. Like when it's an actual choice decision to do a not now, then it's a decision. It doesn't have to exist in your brain still. I love this. Keep going.
Yeah. So this is like, and it's really important for me to do this every day. And I don't do it every day. I do it probably 3 to 4 times a week. You know, some days like I start it mentally in my brain and then I'll be mowing the lawn or I'll be wherever I'm doing, you know, I'll get involved in stuff and I'm like, I'm going to do that thing. And then I'm like, no, I don't. And then this is my scorecard item would be like, so on the item on scorecard would be, do my morning startup thing.
Okay.
So it'd be like, And I know what that is. Like, it's, I'm going to write out my list of stuff and then cross the stuff thing, things off and be like, all right, these are the things that, these are the four or five things I'm actually going to do today, you know, and the rest of the time is, you know, whatever. And then this is the important part. So item, I know it says goal and then it says item, but actually the goal goes under item for some reason until I can find better wording for this, or actually to, until it can make the top of my list of things that actually are important for me to change.
Okay.
And then the goal is like the frequency. So like I said, I don't do it every day. It's the goal for me would be to do this, you know, three or four times a week. So, and that's like, how many times a week can I expect myself to do this and still think that I'm engaged in this goal? You know, I'm engaged in this endeavor because, you know, yeah. So it's aim, you know, like I learned this in coaching school, you know, what's the acceptable amount? Like for me, probably two really would be acceptable. If I could do this thing 2 days a week where I could go through this logical mind process of like figuring out how unrealistic my brain is and treats me every single day, like that'd be really cool. Ideally, I'd do it 5 days a week. Well, the middle of that is probably like three to four. Like if I could have a goal of 3 to 4 times a week of me doing my morning startup, like as defined by me, cool. And then you like each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like I encourage people to print this thing out and put it on the refrigerator and use stickers. Like that's the coolest thing that I can, Yeah.
We laminate things in our house and we use a wet erase marker, but stickers are much more fun. And you know, adults don't put stickers in weird places usually.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder.
If you have stickers, you're not going to get to use any of those stickers. They're going to take them from you. Yeah.
So is that like, so then that would be like par four.
Par four. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep, par four. Yeah. Cool. And these items are like, and I like, we don't want to have more than 4 to 5, 4 to 6 scorecard items at any given time, because really we can only focus on so many things for change. Mm-hmm. And so as we're doing this stuff, like, well, you know, at one period going to the gym for me, not hard. Like it was, I needed it. Right. But you know, before that, it was on my scorecard of being like, go to the gym, you know, 3-4 times a week. So as we're doing these things, they're like, all right, so you have this thing on here and I have my morning startup thing on here. Well, eventually that's going to become a habit. You know, that's going to be like, well, I need that with my coffee. It's not hard. So we take that off. Like we only focus on things that are, I wouldn't say hard. Like I kind of categorize things into three different ways that we have things that are, we have things that are working for us. Like that's, it's not really all that difficult. We have stuff that we're in the process of like, you know, we found a solution. We're trying to tweak it. We're dialing it in, maybe to explore something. Then we have things that are like totally foreign to us. Like you're like, oh my gosh, you know? So, so I encourage people 1 to 2 things that are hard, like one that are like, wow, that's totally foreign to me. And then like, give yourself something on that scorecard. That's like, you got it dialed in pretty well. It's working for you. And then, you know, like, let's just like, and then in different areas of life, whatever's working, like, you know, maybe like taking care of your body is really important. You know, if getting, moving your body, you know, fueling yourself with the right kind of stuff, you know, that's pretty, you know, drinking enough fluid. I struggle with this stuff all constantly, but like have something on there is like, that takes care of your physical form. And then like, you know, for work and for home, like whatever's going on, you know, like in these areas. So getting to your specific scorecard item should not be a simple, like, easy, like this requires some conversation with someone who deserves to have that conversation with you, you know, whether that be a coach or a partner or a dear friend, you know, like these kind of things are, we got to tweak these things and get them exactly. Like I was coaching a lady.
Dialed in.
Dialed in. Exactly. I love that word. Yeah. Cause it means that we always have, you know, place for improvement, you know? And so like, we're always evaluating and tweaking. I was coaching this late. Good. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that just totally reminds me. I just love this. If I can like add a like witness to this, honestly, is over the summer I had a system with my kiddos, and actually got to rewind even further. Last year we started to implement a morning and an evening system because those were the most chaotic times of our day.
Yeah.
And we needed some structure. Like there needed to be something to follow. So fast forward to the summertime, they pretty much had their evening routine down pat. And so they no longer had to like flip over individual items. So now on their, what I'm seeing here is a scorecard. Now they didn't have individual items. It just said evening routine. Right. And so then we could cross that off until this year, we don't even need to do the evening routine cross off anymore. It's now not on their card because it's just what we do. If we're going to sleep, we're going to do these things before we sleep. And it's just muscle memory at this point. So I love this. We think oftentimes, I was a classroom teacher for a while and I was like, I had such resistance toward creating a process or a structure or a visual representation. Yeah. I'm like, that's what you do in a classroom. I don't want that in my real life. And then when I embraced this idea that it could potentially help me get the results that I wanted, all of a sudden, how could I live without this? Like you just said, like, this is just something I do with my coffee. Like, this is how we do it, right? It's no big deal. And so to your point, this has been so helpful in our family and with my kids and of course with me, and by effect, right. To do that. But what were you going to say about the client that you had?
I had a client that like, so we're talking about fine. So the scorecard is kind of, you know, has instructions. This is like, it's a visual depiction, but like, so finding the scorecard items, that's the stuff that's the real hard work. And I had so I listened for these things. Like when I'm coaching, I had a client that, you know, over in California, super cool lady, special education teacher. Actually, I had a lot of special education teachers, you know, in the last year.
Interesting.
It's funny. They come in like packs of different, you're like, oh, yeah, computer programmers, special education teachers, cops.
Something, you know, like, about that reel that month really resonated to special ed teachers or something.
I don't know. Yeah. Right? And she was like, they work different hours. And so she, like her school day starts at noon, which I'd never heard of, you know, on the East Coast here. Like they make us, like our kids get on school bus at 6:30 in the morning, but they, it's crazy. But yeah, well now they drive themselves, but it's, so she would, you know, she like her morning startups were hard for her. Like she, like it's getting out of bed, you know, her kids are a little bit older in their 20s and, you know, they getting out of bed, getting the things done, like to get in the mental space and get into school like an hour or two early, do her planning was really, really hard. So this is the thing that we were trying to build a procedure around until we got to a place where like her sister was also struggling a little bit. And so she was on the phone with her every single day. And so like when we got to, she was on the phone with her to be like, hey, how's your day going? Things like that. And I was like, well, time out. Like, all right. So like when you find that thing, that magic thing, that's like, all right, well, creating that, you know, that level five energy, Camden, like we talked about creating that win-win situations, right? Where you benefit and I benefit. So like learning how to lean on each other. And I was like, whoa, this is a thing. Like, let's dial into this right here. You know, like, so the sister needed her. She needed the sister. It was important. Like there was a, you know, service of others, you know, which is highly on her, you know, where she dialed in. And so like when we find these things, I mean, like, and then we talk about them, right? So we were like, all right, well, your sister needs you, you know, to get through this difficult time. And, you know, and if you communicate to her that you need her as well in this way to get going, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, then your day starts off. She, you know, everyone's on a good tone, you know, and we can get going. So this is a scorecard item. So the scorecard item would be call sister, you know, every morning, 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and she was probably just thinking of that being extra or like non-essential, you know, for progress, but it's like, it was already something that was helpful. Did you, in that conversation, I'm curious, was it like a led conversation? Was it like a point or was it just a matter of, I will know what to talk about and that fills my soul enough that it will be okay?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Was it like I tell her, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is how my morning went. Like, was it a really structured phone call?
Oh, no, or not in any way.
The fact that she was checking in.
Yeah, they were just like having a connection. Like sometimes I remember she'd say they'd read certain Bible verses, you know, maybe they do, like, it was just a place of connection of being like, you know, to find some common ground.
And that's the value in that.
Yeah. Cause her thing was that she needed to get out of bed and get going. Like, get out of bed, start her day, like have a reason to be up and, you know, like, you know, and her sister needed a little bit of inspiration of like, you know, like, hey, listen, you know, she was struggling with, I actually don't remember what the sister was struggling with, but it was a way of like, so it served a purpose, like the call served them each a purpose and it was, and they both knew that they both needed it.
Love it.
So it was regularly occurring. Yeah. So it was like, and you're like, oh. And so me, I'm sitting back as a coach knowing that we're trying to do this thing. And I was like, whoa. So, you know, when let's shine the light on that thing a little bit and we'll figure out, you know, how important this thing is. So it was, it became a scorecard item that she was able to utilize.
That's amazing. So I love this on multiple levels. I think sometimes we try to make, and sometimes it can be extra, but sometimes we try to make it have to be extra and like pushing everything, you know, in us, kind of like the marathon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to highlight this earlier and I'm glad that I stopped, but a lot of the time, and this is no diss to other mentors, but a lot of the time in the neurotypical world, and what I personally experience is that people will push too far and then there's burnout and then there's like complete like losing your mind feeling, right?
Yeah.
And I loved how you said, just choose a couple of these goals and they want to move that needle, you know, a little bit. They want to push you out of your comfort zone, but not so much that you're not going to want to do anything.
Right.
And that is very different than the neurotypical world often will push you, especially if you're an entrepreneur or especially if you're in the personal development world. So I just want to highlight this for all the listeners right now that what Andy is teaching is a principle that is so essential for a neurodivergent brain so that we don't burn out, so that we are aligned, and just honestly for normal progress, to be able to progress in a way that is healthy for our body, is only doing a few things at a time that move us a little bit and that push us in the direction. And I guess I'm going to pair that with what you just said. She was already doing something that was systematic, that she enjoyed to a degree. And now we're going to be, what's the word? Intentional. Now she's going to use it as an intentional item on her scorecard in order to reach an intentional result that she's loving. It wasn't anything extra, but now it's something that's intentional. It's not just like, well, it's just what I do. No, now we get to measure it through a new lens that allows growth, that allows purpose, that allows them to move toward that. I love this, Andy. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, thank you. Thank you. I'll give you another example of something. So of another scorecard item. So we want to be really, like you said, intentional. And these are things we're focusing on, and we don't want to do more than a few because it becomes too much and it's going to be gone within a couple of days or a couple of weeks. No, it's not sustainable. So
Can you share your screen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot that it was sharing.
I feel like I'm like looking at just white. Okay, there we go. There's your face.
Oh. Hey, how are you?
Perfect. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So another one, this was a scorecard item that I used last year, was cooking, you know, hard for ADHDers, right? Hard.
Worst.
Yeah. So I'll eat sushi, you know, 7 days a week just because
I just bought sushi 20 minutes before the call.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. It's on my scorecard was cooking dinner 3 days a week. So I fall into the category of a lot of men of, you know, as when my kids were growing up, I worked a lot, worked, you know, sometimes 80, 100 hours a week. So my wife was at home with the kids a lot. And like, we got into this pattern of, you know, she took care of the house and, you know, I didn't really know where I fit. My ADHD brain, I'll take the garbage out and things like that because I know where all that stuff is. But as far as food goes and cooking, like I love to cook actually, but it was just so inaccessible to me. So a couple of years ago, like I wanted to make more of an effort in that area to take, like, as we got a little bit older, as I was doing this work a little bit more and trying to understand the load and how to, you know, create like a bit more of a shared experience in raising our kids and in my marriage. And so I took on this, like, I'm going to cook 3 days a week, you know? So, and like, I had to do the, like, all right, well, actually my wife's a horrible cook, you know, and you can tell her she hates cooking.
Probably
hates
it. Knows it.
Yeah. She knows. And she knows I use this example too. She hates cooking. Like she's a functional cook. Like we can eat it, but it's, so.
How's your food? It's functional.
It's functional. It's nutrition, right?
I love it. Okay.
Yeah. So like, and so I look at the thing, like I would be, well, you know, figuring out what groceries you need and stuff, like, nah, she asks me every week, what do you want? I don't know. I'm not good with decisions. So I put it on my scorecard. I was going to cook 3 days a week. And so I had to look at like why this would be like, well, if I cook, that means that Jen doesn't have to, and that will make her very happy. You know, if I cook, like the kids will actually come down and eat the food also, because well, she's not a good cook. You know, it's, she really, like, they were, they're not.
It's the opposite of functional cooking. Well, it's functional.
Yeah, functional cooking. Yeah. And so, like, we would share this thing, and this went on for a while. And actually, I don't really cook all that much anymore. You know, Ella's already in college, and Weston is, he's an enigma. He's, you know, almost 17, so he's never here. You know, wow. So we, you know, we eat the same things now, but it worked for that period of time where, and did I do it 3 times a week? Probably not, you know, but it did make a difference in the sense of, like, Katie, you know, setting that goal out, putting it, defining it as a specific scorecard item, you know, it checked off all these boxes. Like, it created a connection, like, where my kids would come down, you know, like, it made my wife happy. It made me feel fulfilled in the sense that I was doing something, you know, in this arena. So it really, like, checks off all these boxes. So when we're creating these things, like, we have to, like, really do this mental. And I think that with ADHD, a lot of times we just don't really do the, you know, where our brains are, like, floating around quite a bit, but we don't, like, put this concrete, like, all right, these are the benefits of you know, taking this on. You know, we have to be bought in. We really have to understand the big picture. We have to see the whole field and be bought in on doing this. So this kind of, like, validation around creating buy-in on these specific scorecard items is really an important process, part of the process.
I love this. I also love this as we approach it, understanding our ADHD, because a lot of the time, in an attempt to fit in an attempt to pretend like we don't have ADHD or to appear neurotypical, even if that's not intentionally what we're trying to do, we think, oh, I should be able to just do this in my head. That's what everyone else does. And this is tricky. This is a tricky thought, I think, in my brain, because first off, it assumes something that we don't actually know is true. A lot of neurotypicals make lists and set goals on pieces of paper and break down tasks. Mm-hmm. And then it adds a level of shame or guilt or of not being enough. What's that called? Like, we're
imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Or like,
I'm not enough. A gremlin.
Like that we're not enough. So in attempt to show how enough we are, we're not going to write something down. Right. It's just, and we don't know we're doing this, but a lot of the time, not only does our frontal lobe need a little bit of assistance of our brain, but also it's the societal thought of, oh, if I want to be like everyone else and prove myself, I don't use a pen and paper, and it's a disservice. And so once again, like, embracing the scorecard idea, embracing writing down the results we want, the values we want, the goals we want, and why, and then visually putting them up. And then, like you said, connecting with a partner or an accountability person and externalizing these internal thoughts that we have is so helpful. And we think that we're just supposed to breeze past this to our goals without doing any of it. It's so very interesting.
Yeah, that's the accountability component of it that we're saying. Like, so if you're trying to do a bedtime routine with the girls, you know, like, having them be part of this and your husband's aware of everything, knows, like, it's spoken, it's out, you know, it's out, it's external. In the same way, like, so if I'm cooking dinner Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or whatever days, you know, it's, you know, like, hey, what are you cooking? What are we doing this thing? It's external. So I can't, if I just start cooking dinner once a week, well, that's a real easy out for me to be like, no, I'm not doing this. You know, we'll just get sushi or pizza or whatever, you know, we'll just eat whatever mom makes, you know, like that kind of, you know, whether that's So it's really like sharing this stuff. So that's the accountability component of it. So if me driving to Scouts every Wednesday, well, it's written down, it's on the refrigerator. And now my son knows that I'm probably gonna give him shit if he doesn't, you know, get in the truck with me to go. So, and then everyone, like, I talk about it, it's on social media, it's things like, so this is the time that I use to connect with my kid. So like, share, that's the accountability component of it, is where someone who's looking for you doing this thing. So like, that kind of pressure a little bit to be like, all right, this is what we're doing. Speaking it is a big, and getting a partner in that. Yeah. Huge part. Huge.
I just love it. It is. It's so helpful. And we, and when you feel the resistance, brains out there, when you feel the resistance, know that you can name that resistance. Like, that is normal. Like, that is ADHD. And in that resistance, I would even say that's a beautiful indicator that probably you should be writing something down would be helpful. Probably externalizing those thoughts would be helpful. That resistance you feel that you shouldn't have to do this is like the biggest like siren in my brain of I'm feeling this way. It'd probably be helpful for me to do it. Well,
I do that stuff all the time with the anytime, like creating these mental cues, like I was just going to buddy onto something you're saying there, you know, like that. I heard you say earlier, like the body mind connection, I think it was in your stories earlier, like all about this is creating this body mind connection in the sense. And so anytime I see something that I don't feel like doing and I'm like, I'll do that later. I remember back when I first met you and I coached you around medication. I think it was, probably 2 years ago, right? Yeah. So and you named it. And I was like, that was so significant for me. And I was like, all right, yeah, you like gave the file a name. Mm-hmm. I think it was, and I don't remember what it was, but it was so significant in that, to that same regard. Like, so when things are creating that body mind connection, like I'm going to do that thing later. All right, well, that's Ralph, and he's, you know, and we all know, and I hear my kid do it all the time, both my kids, and like, oh, I'll do that later. And I was like, are you going to do it later though? Like, is that, how real is that? Or are we going to have this conversation in another couple hours again? So like, just really like identifying the things. And now I'll be like, I'm not going to do that thing later. I should do that now. Or, you know, like, let me just close I walk away with the refrigerator open and be like, I'll close that thing later. Like my brain says, tell me all kinds of crazy stuff. Right?
I feel a breeze. What's that breeze?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, nah, I don't need to close that now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's very real. Oh my gosh. Well, I love it. It is. It's the scorecard. It's knowing your result. It's knowing your value, wanting that value, writing it down, getting clear on it, and having a measurable but realistic, yet it still pushes you out of your comfort zone, you know, goal of how you're going to get there. This has been fabulous. Really fabulous. I love the scorecard. I love the par. I'm going to totally share that with my husband.
Because he's a golfer.
And it makes sense to me. And I think it will make sense to him too. I call them mountain peaks and beaches. Like it's the same idea, right? You still get the same result, but you know, this is going to be a par three right now. Like we're not going to the mountain peak. We're not just going to the beach. We're somewhere in between right now. And this is a par four or par three. I love it. I think it's so smart. Well, tell us a little bit about where people can find you, Andy, and who your ideal
are. Yeah. So I spend a lot of time on Instagram, more than I should. I had this incredible Instagram coach, last year, was it 2021? Yeah. 2021. just over a year ago. So I spend, you know, a significant amount of time there, and I'm trying to back off a little bit on that now, but it's, I do one-on-one coaching actually. And then I have a group that I've started, and so I'm going to cohort three shortly. And this piece is one, I have a whole system. So there's like, I have a couple different tools. This is one of them that get to the place where like, I have a belief around like there's three parts of coaching ADHD, and it's like a project of self-acceptance, understand who you are and what your strengths and struggles are. You know, creating a roadmap to the thing, like breaking the stuff down so you can see it all, you know, like we're right map. And then we put the structure in place to get to those things. So it's this three-tiered approach. And I have a group, you know, the group coaching that I'm elaborating on. So this is one piece of that today.
Awesome. So your handle will be in the show notes as well as in the underneath this video, but let them know what it is. It's at Coach Andy Gill.
Coach Andy Gill. Yeah. That's me.
Okay. Perfect. So go follow him there. Website's up there too. Actually, just go to his Instagram. Everything else will lead you to where you need to be with that. And there's a awesome one-on-one consultation, would you call it? Or a discovery call?
It's a consult now. Yeah. It's a consult. Okay. I don't do discovery calls any longer. So I do a low cost consult. Like it's, I had, you know, when things started flowing, like my calendar just filled up with all kinds of, and half people showed up and half of them didn't, right? So after a while, I would be like, I'd coach myself down and be like, well, they're in this different perspective. And so I'd be pissed, right? So I'm like, why? So I talked to some colleagues and they're like, well, if we put a small, you know, the exchange of energy is in the form of currency.
Yep.
Intention. And so then, so I have a small, you know, consultation fee of $35. You come in, we're going to get real clear. We're going to get you some wins, you know, like up right in that first 45 minutes. And so if we're a good fit, you know, great. If not, we'll go on our ways.
It's good. honestly, I've also seen this help the ADHD brain to commit. A lot of the time we're in indecision, and there's something about a little buy-in, you know, a little bit of putting a little bit out there that really helps us not only show up, but also get the most out of it. So I think it's beautiful. And you guys it'll be worth every penny working with Andy. You guys have heard today a lot of his incredible insights surrounding, you know, getting to your goals, which is mostly what we want out of life is goals and the life, ideal life that we're working toward and making sure that it's realistic and that we feel in charge. We feel like we are not being reactive to our worlds, but we are being proactive. So this has been amazing. Andy, any last things you'd like to say?
No, I just appreciate you so much. I always love seeing you, Camden. You know, you're a great friend, and I've appreciated this partnership. Yeah.
Oh, well, so appreciate you being here. And if you would like to work with Andy, go ahead to the link listed below. And thank you for your time today. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Coaching ADHD. If you'd like to know more about ADHD coaching, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and join our lifetime membership inside the Coaching Connection. You can find that information here in the show notes or follow us on Instagram at the ADH Directory.